work session on the fee bill, which is House Bill 2168 for the Board of Chiropractic Examiners fee bill. Rick Olson, Legislative Fiscal Office, and Cynthia Webber. We're online. Legislative Fiscal Office has recommendations relative to lines 1 and 2 of House Bill 2168 as amended. We'll try and move through this fairly fast as to this portion of this, so that we can take care of a quick matter of business in between this and Senate Bill 5505. Rick Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If there are members of the subcommittee that need a copy of this bill,
thank you.
I have those here as well.
As Representative Nelson, what is that?
Thank you.
Did you talk with Representative Nelson?
No, I haven't. House Bill 2168 is a bill to alter some of the fees for the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Legislative Fiscal recommends the following, and on page 1, line 9, on the original bill, it was to increase the fee from $150 to $200. Legislative Fiscal recommending that we go back to the original fee of $150, which would be no fee increase for initial application to the board. Second recommendation is on the second page of the bill, line 1, which is what's proposed to increase the fee from $100 to $150 for initial licensure. Legislative Fiscal recommending that we go back to the $100 so there'd be no fee increase for that item as well. On page 2, line 14, the bill proposed to increase the fee from $100 to $150 for initial licensure. Again, Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending that that go back to original language of $100, resulting in no fee increase for initial licensure as well. Page 2, line 20, is the renewal for licensure for chiropractors. Original bill had an increase from $250 to $375, $125 increase. Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending that fee be changed to $300, which would be the result of a $50 fee increase instead of $125 for renewal. Line 22 on page 2 is the fee for inactive license renewal. Legislative Fiscal Office has recommended that we leave that as is in the bill, which would be $175, resulting in a $25 fee increase. And just as a side note, within the language of this bill, current language, there are percentage limitations for the limited license and the exam retake. Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending that the subcommittee direct the board to limit those other fee increases as follows: limited license increase of $38 to $225, and the exam retake an increase of $25 to $100. That's our recommendation.
Thank you. Are there any questions relative to this recommendation? I think when we see the actual Senate bill that we've been working today, you'll see that how those actually fit in so that we can make sure that there's adequate resources. Representative Ringel is recognized.
Well, that's what I was curious as to how this penciled out, and it sounds like we're going to get there.
Yes, okay. We will, but it won't be a huge leap of faith, because if we make an error, if we've made an error in making these recommendations and legislative fiscal recommendations, then we can always come back and reopen 2168. So are there any discussions?
Mr. Chairman, I have discussed this with Mr. Olson, and he said to me this would have the net effect of allowing about a 3-month operation expenses for the agency at the end of the biennium.
At their lowest point.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Mr. Chair, There is one point during the year that the fees, the ending balance would drop below that.
Mm-hmm.
But their renewals would start coming in the next month.
Mm-hmm.
They'll bring it up. And I think, and we'll get to this more in the budget bill, talking about their cash flow, because there's a budget note that we're proposing for the budget bill. But these fees, based on the budget recommendations that LFO is making and their cash flow analysis, would be adequate ending balance.
About 3 months.
Average of about 3 months.
Mm-hmm. I have another question, Mr. Chair. I don't know whether this is time to ask, or should I ask you in budget bill time, which is there seems to be a difference of opinions between two groups in the chiropractic practitioners, and I am interested to know what is the committee's thinking regarding appointing a work group for them to mediation participation, mediation in participation to work out the differences and make a report to the emergency board in 6 months' time or a year's time.
That's an excellent suggestion, and I think the appropriate place would probably be in the actual fee or in the actual Board of Chiropractic Examiners bill, and I think that there is adequate in looking at the flow through of the actual financial capacity, there's adequate finances to do that once we approve the fee bill. So are there any objections to the fee increases and modifications to the fee bill as recommended by Legislative Fiscal Office? Representative Johnson,
this is not an objection so much as it is for me tying these fees to some budget notes that have been discussed that are going to give direction on how some of these fees are going to be applied. I just want to say, at least from my perspective, increasing fees simply to keep doing more of the same is not acceptable. And so my support of these fee increases is tied very clearly with some direction in a budget note about issues that need to be resolved with this board.
This, as I understand it, merely authorizes this as an upper limit. Then the board must justify in their actual board bill as to what portion of it they'll need. So we will hear that in just a few moments. But in deference to Senator Carno's time, and again, colleagues, I don't want to feel like or have you feel like that has been stuffed down your throat, but we're going to have a work session on the actual bill in just a moment for the chiropractic board. And this does allow an increase, which is a substantial increase. It's a 20% increase in the actual renewal, and it actually does allow an increase of $25 on 150, which is a 16.67% increase on the inactive practice license. So there is some increase, but recognize also that this is the first increase in a number of years. We've been called back to take care of the sins of prior legislative fiscal offices and legislative, I got trouble coming out this morning, legislative assemblies and legislators before us. So well, with that, are there any objections to the fee modifications and the amendments to House Bill 2168, the fee bill for the chiropractors has been presented to us? If there are none, then we'll go ahead and approve that as presented. And Representative Smith, you had a question about where it had come from. I think Senator Senator Nelson had a question regarding...
Yeah, Representative Nelson.
Or Representative Nelson.
Yeah.
Okay.
He made numerous inquiries about this, and I was just curious where she was, but I'll follow up on that myself.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I think she will have some solace in the next series that we go through. Therefore, we will need carriers to the full. Representative Johnson.
Nice you painted targets on me today. I'd be delighted, Mr. Chair.
Then we need a motion. Representative Johnson now moves to approve House Bill 2168 as amended to send it to the full Ways and Means of the due pass recommendations. Is there any objection? Hearing none. So ordered. and Representative Johnson will carry it to the full end of the House, to the Senate. Senator Yee, you've expressed some interest in this. And
I don't like fee increases.
Oh, you don't like fee increases? None of us do.
No. Okay, I'll carry it. They only give some 3 months operation in the ending of it.
Okay, and we'll let you kind of work on that while we go then into Senate Bill 5505.
This is a history breaking sharing.
Yeah, you're carrying a fee.
It's a pretty hard load to work stepping on you, isn't it? 10 years worth of fee increases and 2% per year. How's that?
That sounds better.
That's what it is. All right, better. Okay. We'll open up our work session then on Senate. Let's see. Senate Bill 5505.
Thank you.
Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. We have been passed out to you right now the fiscal office recommendations regarding the budget bill for the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. I'll wait just a moment as that's coming around. I'll begin at the current service level for their budget. And I'll be referring first to this spreadsheet. It looks like this. It should be on the second page of the other spreadsheet you have there. On page 105 at the very bottom, you'll see that we've made a reduction for the PERS rate adjustment there. That's been taken in all the budget bills. The bottom of page 2 of 5, we made adjustments for the following: attorney's general rate reduction. It does not change the number of hours in the current service level budget. It's just the rate that's been reduced. Audit reduction from the Secretary of State's office, the DAS service charge reduction, and then a reduction for the telecommunications long distance rate. And then if you flip over to page 3 of 5 in that shaded area there in the middle of the page, you'll see that brings the current service level budget to $773,045.
Are there questions regarding the recommendation of Legislative Fiscal Office? My understanding that what this does is this takes the $810,392 budget from our legislatively approved budget and brings it to a total of $773,045 at the current service level.
Mr. Chair, let me add one other thing there. This current service level budget is based on the current fee structure, not the new fees that were just adopted in 2268, but the current fee structure. And because of an inadequate revenues from that current fee structure, there is a revenue or a reduction in that budget in package 050 that you see there to bring it down to a level that they could sustain under the current fees. Now, with that fee increase, and we'll see that when we get to the next package, with the fee increase, it brings enough revenue up to restore to current service level.
That's the $83,566.
Correct.
You'll see it both reduced out of the current service level, and then package 100 brings back the $83,566. Right now, we will take a vote on the current service level reduced down to $773,045. Representative Johnson now moves to the current service level as recommended by Legislative Fiscal Office. Are there any objections? Noting none, so ordered.
Going on to package 100, that, as I mentioned, restores the current service level. That adds back in the reductions that were made in the 050 package. So that totals $83,566. Including a PERS rate and Attorney General rate reduction.
Representative Johnson now moves package 100. Are there any objections? So ordered.
Package 101 was a package to add an additional investigator. Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending that this package not be approved, and that the board should be encouraged to use existing resources more efficiently, and including the use of the peer review committee for investigations of complaints. And again, if the board has lengthy contested case hearings that deplete the Attorney General's line item, or the need for hearings officer panel, they can come back to the emergency board for those items.
Representative Johnson now moves package, well, let's see, your...
Consistent with LFO recommendation.
Consistent with LFO.
I move denial of...
Denial of 101. Are there any objections? Recognizing none, so ordered.
Package 103 was increased funding for meeting and volunteer expenses. Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending approval of this package based upon the encouragement of the board to use more peer review committee and board members for investigations. We realize that those travel expenses will go up if they use those volunteers, so we're recommending this.
Is there any discussion? I just have two items that I wanted to make sure that we absolutely recognize, and that is that that in that process of the peer review, that there be a broad spectrum of chiropractic disciplines to be used within the volunteer. I would recommend that they examine more than just one discipline of the chiropractic science in that process, and that they attempt in all ways possible to mediate the differences amongst themselves as they get together and work together as peer reviewers and as co-colleagues within the same science. With that, Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, is it too late to do that as a budget note, or?
We will have a budget note which will amplify that, I think, in just a few moments.
Okay. In that case, I would move policy package 103 consistent with LFO recommendation.
Representative Johnson has recommended the LFO recommendation as to package policy package 103. Are there any objections? Recognizing none, so ordered.
Package 104 was to increase out-of-state travel limitation. Again, Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending this package not be approved. There is an effort to reduce out-of-state travel budget statewide, and so with that, we're recommending denial of this package.
Representative Johnson.
I move policy package 104 consistent with LFO recommendations.
You've heard the recommendation. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Package 106 was a package to provide funding for the practice guideline development process. LFO is recommending not approve this package. The current effort in the current biennium to adopt these practice guidelines has been done within current resources, and Legislative Fiscal feels that if they can continue to provide that within current resources if they'd like to, but we're recommending denial of that.
Mr. Chair, I'd recommend policy package 106 be denied consistent with LFO recommendations.
It's been recommended that we deny 106. The motion is that we deny 106. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Package 107 was a request to increase office expenses by $1,000 for postage, printing, and other office expenses. Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending that the committee not approve this package as well.
Mr. Chair, I recommend policy package 107 be denied consistent with LFO recommendation.
You heard the recommendation. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Next, Mr. Chair, we get to two budget notes, and I would recommend that we handle those one at a time. The first budget note is that the subcommittee would direct the board to study the agency's cash flow and any balance requirements. This is simply a budget note that would direct the board to look at a birth date renewal system. The birth date renewal system provides for a much better cash flow and would result in adequate ending balances for all 24 months of the biennium. And the one caution I would make is currently the Department of Administrative Services Information Resources and Management Division is looking at licensing systems for statewide, new licensing software for all licensing agencies. So
so that there be some consistency and the ability for DAS IRMD to better support that licensing system. So the timeline for that is not definitive yet. We're not sure when DAS IRMD will come out with that recommendation, but it's expected sometime within the next year. And so LFO would encourage the board to work with DAS IRMD in that and change in their licensing software to have a biennial or a birth date renewal system.
Senator Yee, this in part addresses the issues that you brought up relative to the 3 months of operation and less than 3 months operation. I think when legislative fiscal and I just took a brief look at this, barring the fact that maybe 50% of all of the 1,000-plus licensees all have a birth date in the same month of the mm-hmm. same year, the worst, and that's basically the worst that could happen, and that would be a very unusual situation in the same month in an even year, the same month in an odd year. Basically what happens here is that by spreading the renewals out over a 24-month period, they should have enough cash to probably take them, with the current fee increase, probably take them for 6 years, is depending upon what happens with the rest of the fee structure. So they shouldn't have to come back to us for some time. Again, that depends upon if they have other large consuming bills, which are unknown to us at this particular point. So, yes, Representative Johnson, or Representative Ringel.
I mean, just a comment. I think that we've all seen the presentations, some management issues that have, I guess, are staring at us at the face. On the other hand, that they really do need to work on the sexual harassment issue of the treatment, and I think it's a very important issue, and I wouldn't want their ability to try to address those to be undercut because we're not giving them adequate resources. And chiropractors that I've talked to that I know favored the full increase. They were willing to pay the full increase because they thought it was important enough to address those. So I think we need to be flexible. And when we're here 2 years from now and we're going over this agency, I hope that we can have some confidence that they sorted out their management issues. And if there are still significant problems, we need to protect the public.
Thank you very much, Representative Ringel, and Budget Note 2 will address that specifically, and we want to be sensitive to that. It's not just a matter of dollars and cents. It is a matter of protecting the public relative to the sexual issues, sexual misconduct issues there. So, again, this Budget Note directs them to start looking at a method of evening out the cash flow so that they can do those things evenly throughout the year without fear of running out of the resources as they go along. Representative Johnson now moves Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation as to approval of Budget Note Number 1. Are there any objections? Noting none, so
Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee, Budget Note Number 2 directs the board to report back to the emergency board no later than July 1st, 2002 on the progress towards reducing the complaint investigation backlog, specifically the sexual misconduct cases. Furthermore, the board is expected to report at the same meeting on the progress and development of practice guidelines if they continue in that effort. And I believe there's a proposal to amend the language of this to include some additional reporting back to the emergency board.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Yee is recognized.
I would like to suggest adding language to say at the end, adoption of practice guidelines consistent with statutory requirement. And then the board is encouraged to form a work group of the two associations to iron out differences and conflict, and with participation of dispute resolution to help with the resolution. I'm just thinking of it.
No, I appreciate that. And so, and let me ask this: if we talk about the subgroups of the various chiropractic disciplines, should be represented in that dispute resolution format to facilitate the discussion.
In that book.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And resolution format, let's see, within the work group.
And report back to the board in a year's time.
To facilitate discussion amongst the various
groups. At the
same
time.
Report to the same e-board meeting.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Olson, oh, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to, Senator Yee, you've received a copy.
Yes.
And this was handed out today. Examples of conflicts of the Oregon administrative rules versus the Oregon revised statutes. And there's three examples here of conflicts where the guidelines or where the board and the administrative rule might have conflicts with the actual Oregon revised statutes. And so I have just jotted down a couple of those issues. I want to make sure that the continuing education is... Let me say this for the benefit. I know that there are those of you who have some mandatory continuing professional education. I also am a member of a group where I am required to get rather substantial amounts of continuing professional education on an annual basis. And I would say this to the board, and no mincing of words. The tougher you make it for these folks in rural Oregon to get their continuing education, the more you're going to have resistance from members of the legislature who are going to come back here and say, it ain't going to work. And I've got in Ontario, Oregon, a great hospital, services a standard metropolitan area of something in the vicinity of about 250,000 people. And I can't, without those people submitting their courses in advance and paying a hefty fee to the, and I say hefty fee, it's hefty for them, it's a small hospital, but it's large enough that it services a big area. But my chiropractors in Eastern Oregon can't always make it to Salem or to other places where you have these continuing professional education seminars, and yet CE that qualifies for all of the medical physicians and medical community in my cities is available through the local hospitals, and yet my chiropractors can't go there. And the bottom line is that what's happened is years ago, as a person 25 years ago, 30 years ago, that testified to the legislature that I thought it was a good idea that CPAs get some sort of continuing professional education, because Oregon had none and California did, where I had practiced and qualified. We started off with a very cumbersome method of getting our continuing professional education. That was that the board had to approve and we had to go through all of these gyrations. A number of years later, and it wasn't a long time, but a while later, it just became obvious that you had about 14,000 providers that had to pre-qualify courses that just absolutely were ridiculous. And the bottom line was that you had to come and say, wait a minute, you're a professional. You did not get your license out of a Wheaties box. You worked very darn hard for it to get through school and take the various licenses and so forth. And because of that, we think we ought to give you just a little bit of latitude to say, by golly, I think by attending the cardiovascular surgery section at the hospital and being able to understand a little bit better about these various kinds of things, but that ought to qualify without having to come and say, please pay the $100 and then please pay the $60 and then pre-qualify the courses and those kinds of things. And you're going to find a greater and greater resistance, not just within the profession, but you're going to find that resistance within this legislative body that says the tougher you make it, the tougher we're going to make it on you. And so what I would do is I would strongly urge the board to do whatever is necessary to make sure that practitioners can pretty much gauge themselves. And my experience with that is the more latitude you give a professional, the more anxious they will become to make sure that the things that they attend, number one, really are things that would pertain to them and qualify them for their profession. And number two, they'll end up usually getting a whole lot more hours than you would require of them anyway. And so I would just make that one caveat. The second thing I would say I hope you'll take that to heart, because I say it in all sincerity. I hope to be here in another 2 years, and I hope to be able to see a lot of changes in this ward. To the extent that there is that there are indeed conflicts between the administrative rules that might be coming up and the Oregon Revised Statutes, I would strongly recommend that you take a real close look at that in your ongoing meeting. And to the extent that you can involve the subgroups of the various disciplines of the chiropractic associations and those associations which may have 100 members to 200 members to 700 members or 400 members, wherever they are, it really mattereth not. Each one is a separate discipline, and that's like me standing up and saying, by golly, I'm the only one that's right in the room, because I've been struck by a bolt of lightning from heaven. So I want you to know this. During this past 2 weeks, I've seen a very good specialist for my knee. And during this past 2 weeks, I have been worked on by a chiropractor for my knee. And the chiropractor gave me some pills that the specialist said were just a vitamin supplement and probably wouldn't do much. I've since removed myself from the $20 a piece pills and are taking the vitamin supplement that has been provided by the chiropractor, and my knee hasn't felt better in 2 years. And I'll tell you that just frankly. So that's not to say that the one specialist didn't know what he was doing over the chiropractor, but I feel a lot better about the whole profession as a part of that. And I would say finally in that regard, I don't want one peep of retribution between any of the groups. I think that you're professionals. I don't think that there's a place for it. I think that you need to get along. That you're all. I look around the room and I see everybody wearing white hats. And the good guys don't be shooting good guys with the white hats. And I don't want any retribution. And if there is any, even a hint of retribution amongst the groups, I tell you what, I just don't think that any member of this dais has much. We're only going to be here for a few years in our term limits, and we're just not going to have that much tolerance for the least degree of good guys shooting good guys because they just happen to come from a different part of the good guy territory. And so I would just say, get along, recognize that there are some subgroups within the professions, and recognize that you are professionals. You all have graduated from the required courses and the required colleges and the required universities to bring today specialties, and the fact that one group will manipulate in a different way than a different group does. Now, I want to also be very sensitive to where Representative Ringo comes from, and that is there's nothing in what I am saying gives license to anyone to be in any way active in any kind of sexual misconduct within this practice. But also I recognize that, by golly, every time I see my chiropractor back at home or wherever I've ever seen a chiropractor in my life, they've always laid hands on me, and not like in the Bible. They've laid hands on me, and they've done things to me that my doctor won't do to me back home. And by golly, I always come out feeling like I've got a handful of pills from the one doc, and take these for several weeks and maybe I'll start to feel better. And I always come out feeling better from my chiropractor. So I look at that and I say, these are the good guys, but by the same token, there's no laying on of hands. Some people would believe that that might be and somehow taking a liberty with a male or a female, but I would just say this. I think you can still be very sensitive to those issues without being overly protective of this business of wanting to do office audits or those kinds of things. Anything that deals with reported misconduct by a patient, I certainly believe that should be examined. But this business of random audits, office audits, anything to do with that, I think is inappropriate. It's not called for in the revised statutes. And as far as I know, it's just not it's not something we want to go there. Now, that having been said, Representative Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I can't resist the temptation to lecture a little bit, too. Unlike Representative Butler, I've never visited a chiropractor. And frankly, the internecine fighting that went on in here had a chilling effect on my wanting to do so. I have rarely, in all the times that I've been observing the legislature, both as an agency person and as a lobbyist and now as a legislator, I've never seen groups come in and fight like you guys have done. And it has had the net effect of, I think, having a kind of chilling effect on some of us about your profession. I would urge you, whether it's through dispute resolution or mediation, I know Senator Carno's a great fan of both of those tools, some way to sit down and try to bring an end to what is obviously a roiling conflict. You're not doing your discipline any service by having these sorts of events happen in public. And I would assume that if there aren't some significant management improvements with the board, next year's appearance or next session's appearance before a committee is going to be really unpleasant. So I urge you, through whatever tools are available to you, to sit down and find common ground between the chiropractic disciplines.
Thank you very much, Representative Johnson. I appreciate that. Now, if there's any questions about what we've just said, now is the time to ask them, because I feel like it was either not available. Okay. Well, we're going to go on for just a minute or two longer, but I'm going to ask Legislative Fiscal Office to read back Budget Note 2 so there's no question. I think that the way that it's printed through its beginning of the subcommittee direct down through adoption of practice guidelines is substantially correct. And then, Rick, will you please amplify that?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Actually, we'll continue that last sentence. Adoption of practice guidelines consistent with statutory requirements. And then in addition to that, the budget note will say the board is also directed to establish a work group with the assistance of the Dispute Resolution Commission or Mediation Services to resolve differences amongst professional organizations and the board and report back to the same July 1st, 2002 emergency board meeting. Specific issues to be addressed during that or within that work group would be the continuing education requirements and any conflicts between the Oregon revised statutes and Oregon administrative rules. Does that do it?
Chair, I would move adoption of the amended budget note number 2.
Well, let's see. We'll have to have a quorum before we do that.
I didn't realize we...
So we are going to be at ease for just a few moments. So I'm going to call an at ease for just a few moments while we are waiting